Psalm 50. This is a really quite unique insight into the nature of the future day of judgment. It's the time, verse 4, when he calls to the heavens above and to the earth that he may judge his people. So it's talking about the future day of judgment. Gather my saints together to me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. So these are the responsible who are being gathered together at the last day, and the gathering to judgment is, of course, spoken of by the Lord Jesus, that he will send out his angels and they will gather together God's people to judgment. And that's why maybe we read that he calls to the heavens and to the earth, that it's time to judge his people, because the angels in heaven will go out and gather together all those who are responsible to judgment. And then we have some insight into how he's going to judge. He's going to say to them things like verse 8, I don't rebuke you for your sacrifices. In other words, you did offer sacrifice, your burnt offerings are continually before me. Yes, you did offer your sacrifice, but I didn't need those sacrifices because, verse 10, the cattle on 1,000 hills are mine. And if I were hungry, I wouldn't have told you. But what I wanted was, verse 14, the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Verse 15, for you to call on me in the day of trouble and to honour me. So it's as if he's going to go through people's lives. You did sacrifice to me, yes, I accept that. You did so continually, but I didn't particularly want that. What I wanted far more than sacrifice was for you to thank me, for you to give thanks at mealtimes, for you to see the sunset and thank me for it, for you to reflect on your life and be grateful. And that is what God really wants, that thankfulness. And he loves it when we have a crisis and we call to him in our day of trouble, when the car breaks down in a remote road in a difficult area, when you get a worrying report from the doctor about a lump that has appeared upon you, when you find that the bank you put your money in has collapsed and that's it and there's no money coming back to you, when you find that your house is burnt down or whatever it might be, that you call immediately on God in the day of trouble. That's what he would have liked, not a load of ritualistic sacrifices. Verse 16, to the wicked God will say, what right do you have to declare my statutes and to have taken my covenant on your lips? You were in covenant relationship with me, but you hated instruction and threw my words behind you. And then he goes on with more specific things, as if to give them flashbacks. When you saw a thief, you consented with him. You used your tongue to frame deceit. It's as if God will bring before people, as it were, a photograph of their past life. When you, with your tongue, yes, that tongue that is between your teeth in your mouth, you framed deceitful words. Verse 20, you sit and speak against your brother. You slander your mother's son. You sit. Why say that? You sit and speak against your brother. Because he's giving them a flashback. Do you remember? You were sitting there on the chair in the kitchen and you spoke lies to your mother about your brother. Yeah? You have done these things, verse 21, and I kept silent. You thought that I was just like you, but I will rebuke you and accuse you before your eyes. This is the trouble, that because God does not act immediately, because there is no immediate thunder or lightning strike from heaven when we sin, we can think that, well, yeah, God sort of didn't pay attention, he didn't kind of notice. And so much of our sin is the same sort of thing, that we don't pay attention to it. We are sort of aware that we've crossed the line, but, well, yeah, you know, just go on. And we can tend to think that God is like that, but he is not like that. In the same way, we can think, well, yeah, okay, I did that, but that was years ago. Oh, we may forget our sins. We forget the sins that we didn't repent of, and there's other things we did, we don't even aware that we did them. And we can think that God is like us, and that, well, yeah, that's sort of how he sees things. But the passage of time does not work atonement, and God does not have a memory that fades like us. I think all we can do is to get on our knees, and I urge you to pray on your knees, especially in the evenings, to ask God to forgive you for all your secret sins, as David does in Psalm 19, to blot out totally all our sin that we have not repented of, or that we've forgotten about, or didn't realize was wrong, or whatever. Please forgive me for all of it. That should be our prayer. And as I say, the fact that we forget things, the fact that we cut ourselves such a lot of slack, doesn't mean that God does. But God says, you've done these things and I kept silent. You thought that I was just like you, but I will rebuke you. So this is all, as I say, an amazing picture of the final judgment. But I don't think it's going to have to be like this for the accepted. Why I say that is because in the parable, the Lord says that to the wicked, he will say, look, when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. Flashback to a hungry person who you told to, you know, just fend for themselves. When I was thirsty, you didn't give me anything to drink. You didn't come to visit me in prison. When you were aware that Johnny was in jail, you thought, yeah, well, yeah, so he deserves to be, and you didn't go. You know, the wicked have all these flashbacks. And yet to the righteous, he says, yeah, well done. When I was hungry, you fed me. Well done. When I was in prison, you visited me. And the righteous will say, when did we do that? They will argue back with him. It's as if he goes through all the good deeds of the righteous, but he goes through all the wicked deeds of the wicked. I think that's because we have righteousness imputed to us, and because our sins have been totally dealt with. It's not that Jesus comes back and he's going to give us flashbacks from all our sins. I don't think so. I mean, maybe, but I don't think so. This is talking about God's judgment upon the wicked, that yeah, they will be given the reason for their condemnation. And this is why the day of judgment has got to be outside, I think, of time as we understand it. That it will be a going through of this brief life that we've lived. It could even be a total recall of the whole thing. Of course, it may happen in a nanosecond of time as we now understand it. That's no problem. I mean, God can collapse time. And I think while we're talking about that, I think the day of judgment will likewise involve a collapsing of space. If Einstein had it right, if you collapse time, you collapse space, as far as I understand him. So I would think then that the whole idea of, well, where will millions of people all fit in, you know? Will we be waiting in line for judgment? All these questions are, I think, facile and rather primitive, because if there's going to be this level of discussion with each person, well, the meaning of time will be changed. The meaning of space, likewise, will be collapsed, as I understand it. But the point is that there will be a going through with the wicked in this case. They'll be given these flashbacks to, and particularly I notice that verse 20, you sit and speak against your brother. Yeah, why say you sat down and you slandered your brother? Why the mention of sitting? Because it's a flashback. You were sitting in the chair in the kitchen, talking to your mother, or talking to your mate, talking to your wife, and you slandered your brother. So human behavior has this huge meaning. And that's a simple takeaway from this, that because to us we might think, well, you know, don't worry too much about it. You've got to live life, and sure, we sin, and that's how it is. No, God is extremely sensitive to human behavior, and the final outcome of the Day of Judgment will take into account, let's say, all the moments that we've lived. And yet, as I say, I think for those that are in Christ, we are covered. We have passed from judgment. We are not under judgment because we have been saved. We have been cleansed. If we abide in Christ and if we recognize our sins. But the point I think still stands, although this is primarily talking about the judgment of the wicked, that we are not to think that I was just like you. Yeah? God says, you thought that I was just like you, but no, I will rebuke you and accuse you now before your eyes. I will bring these things back to your memory. And there is a huge importance to life and living and how we think and how we act every moment. This is so significant, and yet we live in a world that thinks, oh, great, it's the weekend. Oh, great, you know, let's look forward to just letting our hair down a bit, whatever. And life does not have that sense of importance to the unbeliever. Whereas for us, not that we're saved by works, not at all, but by the same token, how we live is critically important and significant to God moment by moment.